Hello, this is Dr. Don Callan coming to you from the Yakima Indian Reservation in South Central Washington State. And there is another Washington on the opposite side of the country, and it's Washington State. I remember several times traveling years ago, and you tell people you're from Washington, and they'd never dream of Washington State. They'd always think of Washington, D.C. Well, there is another Washington. And we have been having the joy of coming to you the last couple weeks or so on prayer that makes things happen. We were going through the book of Matthew, and we broke off of that a little bit to look into what is faith, what is prayer, and it's such an integral, if I can even speak it, part of the whole Christian faith is that is prayer. And it's quite different than many prayers from that would be found in world's religions. And I would even include some of the what's called Christianity along with that. Because Jesus was saying that we're not supposed to make vain repetitions. Now, as far as, certainly in many places around the world, we see we'll repeat certain prayers over and over and over again. And we are not heard by our repetition. There has to be faith. There has to be the Word of God mixed with it, and to give power to it. One of the reasons why is because that if we're just praying things of ourselves entirely, then what power has it? We have to be in agreement with what God says. We see even in Scripture that the angels only do those things which they hear from the Word of God. Well, it's not specific as far as where the Word of God is coming from, whether it's coming from God Himself or if it's one of us quoting the Word of God. You see, the angels will respond to us as well if we're using God's Word and in God's context. So, we need to be familiar with the Word of God. And today, we are going to continue and hopefully get most of the way through prayer that makes things happen. And we want to cover just briefly the sort of the outline of this. Number one is that prayer really needs to be a part of our lifestyle, of your lifestyle, of my lifestyle. Now, that is something that we have to work on. It does not come easily sometimes, and sometimes in our life it may come easily, but it has to be part of our lifestyle. Prayer that makes things happen is a part of your lifestyle, not just a religious function. So, and it's not a matter of bowing your head and closing your eyes, but it's a matter of just talking and praying to God. And it's important, as I said, to know the Word of God so we can pray those words. Now, when we say the Word of God, the Bible makes it clear that there's two different forms of the Word of God. Now, in our English, it's not clear because both are translated Word of God. But in the Greek, it's very clear that there's the Logos of God, which is the written Word of God. And then there is the Rhema, which is the lively or spoken Word of God. So we are looking, we're not trying to separate one from the other and saying one is better than the other. We're saying that we need to have both, and that they both should be in agreement with each other. So Perhaps we can spend a little bit of time. I don't know if that we'll spend time today, but someday in just going into those two areas. But we want to see this. Number one is that prayer that makes things happen has to be, there has to be a lifestyle of it, and that we are involved with it. There needs to be, secondly, a matter of a shameless insistence. In other words, it's not a pleading to God for something and just oh, please give me something, or whatever you ask of him. But there comes a matter of, there can be great boldness. In fact, God tells us to come before him with boldness, make our request known to him, and we're supposed to come not sheepishly or pleading, but that even as we grow and mature in the Lord, that they're supposed to become a boldness and an insistence. And yet, at all times, we're only doing that because of what God has told us to. We still must keep the reverence and awe of God, but yet do what he says. One of the things he says is to come boldly before him, that the righteous come as a lion before him, which is certainly a bold way, and make our requests known to him. Also, number three is that prayer that makes things happen has faith in God. So it's not faith in our own self. We certainly can have a certain amount of faith in ourselves because of our faith in God, because if we know him and we love him, then we can love ourselves and love others. And thereby we can have faith in ourselves too, but we realize that the only assurance or only reason that we can have any trust in ourselves, which is because of he who lives in us, is nothing from us ourselves, but it's from the power of God that comes and dwells in us. And therefore, we have to keep those things in perspective. So our faith has to be in God and of God. And we briefly talked and mentioned this last week, that we can say the faith of God because that's what the Bible says. It's translated in God, but actually, if you look at some of the Greek, it's the faith of God. Well, how can we say we can have the faith of God? Well, that's because of having a relationship with him indwelling us, and that the Holy Spirit comes inside of us to dwell in us. Then we can begin to experience also the faith of God. So then there's several sub-points there, but the other major points is that that's first, second, and third. Now the fourth one is that prayer that makes things happen is full of the Word of God. So we're going to look at some scriptures today that show various areas that we need to have the Word of God in us for what we have need of. And then finally is just how do we start? How do we start having prayer that makes things happen? And so we left off, and where we left off was we left off in James, I think, and James 5:15. And there it says, faith must be in God and not in ourselves, in our works or our worthiness or in other people. The prayer of faith is powerful, and James 5:15 says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So we see there that this is one of the many purposes of faith, is that for healing the sick, but also it's very necessary that it has committed, anybody that's committed sins, he will be forgiven. So we come before God because we don't have to bring sacrifices like we did before years ago when at the time the Bible was written, they were bringing sacrifices of offerings because it says there is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. However, when Jesus Christ came, that sacrifice was no longer needed because that perfect lamb, that perfect one, who is a son of man and the son of God, shed his blood. And because he shed his blood, that's beyond my understanding why it takes innocent blood to wash away sins. But when it was there was the offering clear back from the Garden of Eden and Abel and Noah and the time of Abraham and Moses. So we have this matter of giving up an offering to God of the best of one's flock. And we see this throughout the Bible. And then we see that it was clearly stated that there's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. But there was a culmination of that. It was looking forward to the time when one that was the creator of the world, Jesus Christ, came and gave his life for us, for everyone, to bear. The Word of God clearly states that he became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. You see, he was the one that was totally righteous, and yet we were the ones that were sinful. And just what does sinful mean? It just means missing the mark. I mean, if you shoot at a target with a bow and arrow, how many times do you hit the not only the bullseye, but the dead center of the bullseye? It's a very hard thing to do. And yet, that's what sin really means, missing the center of the bullseye. It's missing the mark. And, of course, we as human beings, we just miss the being perfect. That's what Jesus did. We were counted righteous because of what he did. And when he bore our sins, it says we were given his righteousness. All those that would trust and believe on it and call on his name for salvation, that there was a great exchange going on there. And so here, once again, this scripture here is in James, and it's James chapter 5, verse 15, and it says, "And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." So dealing with sins, but he's also dealing with the matter of faith, and the matter of the faith will raise the sick, will heal the sick. So this is faith has got to be it's not just a faith or a trust in some religion, but it's in God's word, that his word is true, and that when one comes, you're not just praying something just wimpishly, but there is a great boldness there. And with that boldness, because you know who promised it. You know who promised it was God, who says cannot lie. And if he cannot lie, then it's true, and therefore we can have the boldness. We look now to Hebrews, and we want to go there to chapter 11, verse 6. And I would encourage you, if you have a pencil and paper, just to copy down some of these verses so that you can go back and just look these up on your own. And verse 11:6 it says, "But without faith It is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, the Bible says that each man has been given a measure of faith. But here, we've got to have this faith and be using it. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now, we have the ability, because God has given us a measure of faith, but we have to take that faith and have that faith in God, in trusting in him. Here it says, that we, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Well, we can go about many things in our life, and we accomplish just whatever we accomplish. It says we often build with wood, hay, and stubble, and it won't endure. But if we are building things by him and his strength, what he gives by the Holy Spirit, then it talks about us building instead of with wood, hay, and stubble that gets destroyed. We will be building with precious stones and precious metals and diamonds and rubies and sapphires. And it's those things that are strong and will go through the fire and come out the other side. Wood, hay, and stubble doesn't go through the fire. So we want to, when we have faith in God, we are trusting in not in our own attributes, but in his, that what he says, what his word says, is true. And so we build not on just what we can accomplish, but we're basically looking for his word, building things out of what he has already created, and that we are coming alongside of him, and he has called us to be really, as he has said, to have dominion on the earth. Now, this isn't dominion over other people, but dominion over the earth. This was his, he said that he ruled all the universe, except basically the earth, that the earth he has given into the hands of man to have dominion over it. And so we can see that we certainly have a few problems down here. Well, that's because we can say often when a great tragedy happens, people say, well, how could God let this happen? Well, he let it happen by giving dominion over the earth to mankind. And he does get involved when we call upon him. He does not step in, except the word of God says that he first reveals things to his prophets. His prophets proclaim it and speak it out, and it allows him in the earth as far as for blessing or for judgment. And lots of us don't want to hear anything about judgment, but the Bible clearly says that man lives but once, and then comes the judgment. So we are eternal beings, but as far as this physical life right here on earth, in this body, we have but one life. Now, in what is often called the resurrection, there is going to be the resurrection of the just and the unjust. Those that have trusted and put their trust in Jesus Christ and in God Almighty and their Creator, they're turning to their Creator and trusting him with their lives. They're looking to him because he is the one that has made you and me, and that we look to him for our life and our eternal life as well. And because of that, we have great confidence. We look here now that we've seen this verse here, that it's impossible to please him without faith. It says that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we want to certainly diligently seek God. We want to at the very beginning of this series a couple weeks ago, is the matter of that we come before God and he becomes part of our lifestyle. So prayer, prayer doesn't have to be something super spiritual at all. It's just a matter of our lifestyle, that we're daily in communication with him and throughout the day, that prayer becomes a part of our lifestyle. We can be praying driving down the highway. We certainly don't close our eyes, I should hope. No, the vast majority of your prayer should be with your eyes wide open. And part of it, perhaps, depending on who you are what helps you in prayer. If closing your eyes helps you in prayer, then close your eyes. As far as don't want distractions in your prayer sometimes. You see, this is the matter of the ongoing prayer throughout the day, but then there should be a time set aside, whether it's 5, 10, 15 minutes of a day that is just devoted to prayer without other things interrupting, other things coming around and about, so that it can be a true devotion time. And we see that, I know there was, back in the late 80s, there was a person that got almost 1 million people, maybe reached 1 million or not, of people that were spending an hour a day in prayer. And they were praying the Lord's Prayer, but it wasn't just out of just rote, as far as just speaking the word over and over and over again, like the vain repetition. But you see, that is an outline of how to pray. And so you can pray throughout that outline in millions and millions of ways. So we come right now to continue on. Faith comes by hearing the message of the word. We look to Romans 10:17. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Here it says the word of God. This is talking about what is called the Rhema. It's not the written word, but it is a spoken word. Now you can receive that spoken word of God to you when you are reading the written word, or it may come in prayer when you're seeking God about an answer to something, or various ways. It might be that you're listening to somebody else. Maybe even somebody that's not a believer, and all of a sudden God, the Holy Spirit within you, quickens a certain word, and that word, for it to be a word of God, also would line up with the written word, that it cannot be contrary to the written word of God. So faith is also a decision to believe. So what we've seen here, that faith must be in God and not ourselves, or our works, our worthiness, or other people. The prayer of faith is powerful. Faith comes by hearing the message of the Word of God. Faith is a decision to believe. You and I have to decide to believe. Sometimes it's not a matter of what you feel. That's very important, because our feelings will greatly betray us. And so we have to make a decision to believe. A faith is a commitment to trust. Faith is acting on the word as if it is true. So it's not just praying and believing something, but then because of your believing, you are acting on it as if the situation that you're praying for has already occurred, that you already have the assurance of what you are praying for. And faith is seeing the answer before it comes. Now, the world has tied into this in a way, and they talk about envisioning things and believing for those things and confessing those things. And it works for them in a definite way. It's limited to what man can do However, it still works because it's based on the law of God. And so faith is seeing the answer before it comes true. So when you see something that hasn't come true in the natural sense, you're already rejoicing in it because you've already seen it. It's already happened. You see it completed. So it's not just a goal out there or a hope out in the future. It is the matter of something that you have already seen it before it comes true. Now, this next section is prayer that makes things happen is full of the Word of God. And we're going to go from here from various scriptures. Let's go to John 15:7. And we'll see here that in 15:7 it says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." Now, what is this abiding in me? You see, that seems to be, it says if. So that must be a prerequisite for the asking what you desire and it will be done for you. So he clearly says, you ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. But he said, yeah. So we have to see what the prerequisite is. And that is, if you abide in me and in my words. So if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. You see, he is saying that we've got to live in him. That's why this prayer and the prayer of faith has to be an ongoing thing throughout your life, throughout the day, that you're living with Jesus Christ. You're living with God, your Creator. You're living with the Holy Spirit, and you're living throughout the day with him. And it says, and my words abide in you. Well, what are his words? Well, if you're not familiar with the New Testament, then how can his words live or abide in you? That's what abiding means. It means they live in you. That you are living in Jesus here, or living in your Creator here. It says, if you live or abide in me. So if you're living in him and his words are living in you, then it says you will ask. In other words, that's going to compel you to ask for things. And because his words are already living in you, that you are going to ask for those things that his life being in you is going to cause you to have love and compassion, and you're going to love God, and you're going to be able to love yourself and going to love others, and you will be able to, and not only be able to, but you will want to, and your desire will naturally come out to ask for things, because you will see things in this cursed world, and you want to change those curses into a blessing. You want to see you blessed. You want to see your loved ones blessed, but you want to see others blessed as well. And because that is the love of God coming in and through you. You also want to see his name, God's name, glorified. You want to see the Creator glorified. And because of that, because you are living in him and his words are living in you, you will ask what you desire. Your desires. God has put natural desires in you that are from him. There's also some desires that we have added on that over the years. Some of them are good and some of them are part of the curse. And we don't. But if his word is abiding in you, then his word is filtering out those things that are not good for us, and our desires become more pure, and he's going to fulfill those because he this of as we live in him, it's going to cause us to be compelled to ask for those things that we desire. And it says, it shall be done for you. Why? Because of three things. Why will it be done for you? It was because you are living in him. It's because his words are living in you. And because you are asking what you desire. That's why it shall be done for you. And it takes those three elements for prayer that makes things happen. So we see there are three critical elements. So I want you to be sure to write down that verse. And so you have that handy. If you have it in your Bible, just mark that place, but also perhaps in the cover, inside your cover, perhaps write down, it's John 15, chapter 15, verse 7. And then just after that, it's a very short verse, you might as well just write it in there. And it says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. You might change a word to abide to if you live in me, if my words live in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Okay, let's go on to the next one, Ephesians, which is also in the New Testament. It's just a as far as the New Testament, it's probably, maybe about halfway through. I'm not sure as far as just the percentage-wise. Ephesians chapter 6, and we want to go to verses 17 and 18. And what does it say there? It says, Ephesians chapter 6, 17 and 18. It says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. So it's talking about the Word of God and talking about prayer and supplication. Now, supplication is there's several different forms of prayer. We're not going to really get into that in this study. Maybe some other time we can, if people would be interested in that, because we need to know the different types of prayer. That is, that's excellent, and it helps us in getting results. And so we don't pray the wrong type of prayer for, you know, it's just like tools. It depends. If you're building something, you have to have the right tools. We need to use the right tools. And there's prayer, but then there's different types of prayer. And you want to use the types of prayer to build things that we want to come to reality in our world, in our life. And so you see, things are everything that comes that are already existent in the Spirit. Those good things that we have need of, they're already there, but we have to tap into those and then bring them through prayer and through the power of God from the spirit realm into the physical realm. But here it says to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So we were talking about the Word of God. That is the is being called here figuratively as the sword of the Spirit. That's because it's the power. You think of a sword. It's used for defense and offense. And the Word of God, that's what the Word of God is for. It's both for its defensive weapon, its offensive weapon. It's for blessing and grace. It's the thing that has the power. The Word of God has the power. And so we need to be able to skillfully use it. And if we do not know anything about the Word of God, other than it's sitting there and it hasn't become a part of our lives, then we are unskilled and cannot take advantage of the power that lies there. It's like so many things. So many things are run by electricity, and if we do not have electricity to our computer, whether it's a battery powered or plugged into the wall, or whether it's your TV or washing machine or whatever, if it's not plugged in, it's useless to us. But you see, that's where the power comes from. The power comes from God. And that's what we're looking for right here, is that the Word of God, we've got to be familiar with it and how to connect to the power source so that we can use it effectively. And it says, which the Word of God, which is the Word of God, that's the sword of the Spirit. Then it says, praying always and with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always. So that's getting back to that matter of you don't have to become a hermit or anything. No, you can be actively involved in the world, and yet because you are living in Christ, you're living in your Creator, you're abiding in Him, and His words are abiding in you. Therefore, you can just walk around wherever, because you are. Wherever you are, the Word of God can abide in you, and that your life can be a matter of this, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So you are praying. It's also talking about praying in the Spirit. Now, praying in the Spirit is twofold. There's praying in the Spirit with our understanding, but there's also praying in the Spirit which talks about praying in words that we really do not understand. It's a language that it talks about us praying in the tongues of men and of angels. Well, and so these tongues of men can be tongues that we have knowledge of or not have knowledge of. We have knowledge of, that's praying with our understanding. If we're praying in the Spirit, we're not knowledgeable of what language we are praying in, whether it's of men or of angels. And yet God says that we are supposed to be praying both ways, that we are supposed to be praying in the Spirit. Now, I remember a time that, in fact, it was just, I think, a couple of days ago was the anniversary of it, that I was baptized in what was called the Holy Spirit. Now, I was healed of so many diseases that night, that and so many problems in my body. I was taking so many pills and so many shots and everything, and I was instantaneously healed of many different problems. But I was also what was called filled with the Spirit. So I was filled with the Spirit and healed all in one night. And this filling in the Spirit, there came also with that a matter of speaking in various different languages that I did not have any knowledge of. And yet, it's a matter of you actually open your mouth, you use your mouth, but it's you do not know just where it's coming from. Now, we know that sometimes the devil can, there is a devil, there are demonic spirits. I've dealt with them not extensively, a little bit from time to time when people need deliverance, and usually they are bound physically. And not only spiritually sometimes, but physically, their houses might be controlled by spirits, and they want those things cleaned up and out of there. so that they can possess their homes, and they are not yet strong enough in the Word to understand the Word enough to rid their houses themselves. And so that's something that they might have called me. In fact, they did, and other people that they'd have children possessed or something. And the Word of God is clear that we have power over them, but that's only because it's not us, it's the Holy Spirit that lives in us, that we pray in the Holy Spirit, we pray in other tongues, that we don't even know what we're praying. And then we command with our own English tongue those things that we know are the Word of God. And not just the written Word, but we want to be sensitive to what He might be speaking in the Spirit. Now, does that mean that we're always in that realm? No. It's a matter of we have to, as Jesus said about when He came down from the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, He was met by a man that his son was possessed of the devil and was in a frenzy at the time and was being controlled. And He says, I came to your disciples and they could not cast this demon out. And yet those disciples had cast many demons out. Well, this apparently had been there's different levels of strength of demonic forces. And these they could not cast out. And, of course, Jesus came and cast him out with a word. And he said that this type, the disciples were saying, why could not we cast out this demon? And He said, well, this one comes out only by prayer and fasting. So it's a matter of that there has to be perhaps a dedicated time of preparation, of getting close to God, of being in tune with God, so one could know how to hear what the Word of God is being spoken, so that you can deal and set free that person. That you see there's love and compassion in there. You love and have love and compassion for that person, and because of that, you have power over the enemy, and you can cast those demons out. So we see here this praying in the Spirit. I could pray in the Spirit right now, as far as I would not know what words I'm saying, but it's not for my exaltation. No, it's for my... Actually, the Bible says that the Spirit prays through us to build us up, to strengthen us, but it's also used in warfare to cast out other demons out of other people, that they might be free, that they might be free to hear God, that they might be free, that they might also come and receive healing as well. And often people cannot receive healing because of demonic spirits that have controlled them, and not perhaps their spirit or soul, but have controlled their body. So we want to go on past this, but we want to just look at this once again right here. And so it's, let me see this. We were here in Ephesians chapter 6 and 17 and 18, and that's dealing with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So supplication, you're really asking. That means asking for things. You're asking for not just yourself. This isn't just selfish, but it's for all the saints. You're included in that. So... but you're being, it says, being watchful, and it's a matter of us all prayer, and it's a part of your lifestyle. Let's go on. It says then that prayer filled with the Word of God is powerful. We want to look to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews 4:12, it says here, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." For that, we see the Word of God. It's a matter of, it's living and powerful. It's not something that's dead. It's not just something that's written on a page. But that's why there is power with the Word of God. And that's what we wanted. We want prayer that makes things happen. And if we want prayer that makes things happen, it has to be full of the Word of God. And here we see that the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. In other words, it is powerful. It is precise. If something is precise that is sharper than a two-edged sword, then you can cut cleanly without rough edges. That if you want a doctor, you want them with a sharp scalpel. You don't want them with some old knife out of the kitchen or something that's not, hasn't been sharpened, that's very dull, because it'd rip apart the skin and things, and it'd be much harder to heal. If there's a sharp incision, then it can cut, get at the problem, and also be sewn up cleanly and neatly, and have much less chance of having a scar tissue and everything else. So we are looking there that the Word of God is living and powerful. That's why, another reason why the Word of God has power is that it's filled with God. He breathed it, and when we speak it, we have it in our life, and we pray with it. We're not just praying our words, but we're praying back to God, the Word of God. It has power because it originated from Him, and we are speaking it back to Him. It is also, as I said early in the program, it's the only thing that the angels will listen to, is that they will only listen to the Word of God. So if we're using the Word of God correctly and effectively with love and faith, then they will go to work also in our behalf. Okay, that was Hebrews. And now let's just go back a page or two, a couple pages, to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. And chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Who, being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and beholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high." So we might just read that and not even notice this. However, it says, how is this being accomplished? It's by the word of His power. So there's not just power, but it's, where does the power comes from? It comes from the words from His mouth. So we're looking for the words of His mouth that are spoken, that are written down in the New Testament, in the Word of God. And we're also looking for the Rhema, Word of God, to come alongside of it. In other words, that's what the Holy Spirit will bring and quicken to your heart. And we know that the two have to agree. If you have some word that is spoken to your heart and it's contrary to this written word, we've got to discard it, because we know that it came from a different source. We know that it came from some other spirit than the Holy Spirit. We go on here. It says, when you pray the word, you're putting God in remembrance of His promise to you and confessing your agreement with it. We want to turn way back to Old Testament scripture in Isaiah 43 and 26, and it's 26. That's Isaiah 43:26. Just write this down, this scripture reference. It says, put me in remembrance let us contend together. State your case, that you may be acquitted. So we see this, the matter of acquitted can also mean justified. And so we think of a trial or something. But it says, put me in remembrance. So how do we do that? We bring the word of God back up to him. See, he wants us to take what he has given us and then bring it back to him so that I don't fully understand that, but I know that he wants us to be familiar with his word, that he wants us to live in him and his word to live in us. And then when we come to him, that we take that word that's living in us and put him in remembrance of what he has promised. And then he says, let us contend together. See, that's the only way we can contend with him. See, there's no hope for us apart from that. But if we are using his words that he is giving us, and we are coming to him with those, then we are contending with him in the way it says to state our case, that we may be acquitted, and that, you see, we state our case in the way that he has chosen, that we use his words, and it's acceptable to him when we use his words. And that's what we want. We want to be heard by God. We want answers to our prayers. Well, if we want answers to our prayers and we need to learn how to pray with faith, well, we need to pray correctly. So to pray correctly, we need to be familiar with his word. We need to be living in him, and his word needs to be living in us. And that way, we can speak his word back, and he will hear us. The angels will hear us also. And that's how things get accomplished. When we are on ourselves, when we are just bringing up our own words, how do you expect to get a positive answer for your prayer? We've got to have what he is saying. And so we've come so far in these scriptures now, but there's a very important thing about you and me. And that is, God thinks that we are fantastic people. He loves us greatly. But he's concerned about us, because there's only two types of people on this earth. There's those who are saved and those who are about to be saved. His concern is for all of us. His concern and his love is for those who are saved and those who are about to be saved. My question for you, which one are you? If you can't say that you're saved, then you're one that's about to be saved. That's exciting. And he just asks you to listen and to speak out. And I just ask you to repeat this after me. That's right. Go ahead. Just say it out loud, loud enough that you can hear your own voice. Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you for saving me. I ask you right now, where is Jesus right now? If you prayed that, and if you answered in my heart, congratulations on being a child of God. If your answer is anything other than that Jesus is in my heart, I just ask you to pray that again with me. First, it's number one, it's Father, forgive my sins. And then you ask, Jesus, come into my heart. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you for saving me. Praise the Lord. We just thank the Lord for his word today. But we see that he wants us to have his word in him. The reason for this is that for our salvation, for our And the salvation, it doesn't mean just from here to eternity. It means in every area of life. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with a mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So there's two things. God, this is an integral part of faith and prayer, is there's always two things involved. There's the matter of the believing. You see, things have gotten past our head, they've gotten down into our heart, and they've become, there's the believing. But then there's got to be an act of faith. What is faith? It's the matter of something that comes out of the heart, out from believing, and it's either, it's something out in the physical realm. So it's either confessing with our mouth something, and or also doing something that you couldn't do before. That's often the case with people being healed miraculously. If there's a miraculous healing, then you are encouraged to do something that you weren't able to do before. And so it is with prayer. The prayer of faith, it goes from the Word of God, from the Word of God living in you and coming out your mouth. And it then has effect on your actions, that you do things. As far as you have seen things you're already seeing things having been accomplished, and so you're acting on those things. Father, we thank you for this great time of your revelation in the Word of God. And we thank you for each one of these men and women and children. And we ask your great blessing upon their lives. We ask for life to come into each one of us from you, that we might abide in you, and that your words may abide in us. God bless you, and may this next week be a blessed week, full of the revelation and the life of Jesus Christ, and your Creator, and the life of God in your lives. May you be blessed in every way, and may the Word of God grow strong in you, that you might be counted as a strong man or woman or child of God before him, and that your prayers might be heard and answered in Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a great week. This is Dr. Don Cowan coming to you from South Central Washington State. Blessings. We hope to hear from you, and we'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.